Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our presentation on Windows Store apps. My name is Tom Eddings, and this is Dave Crawford. We're both design leads in the application fast track program at Microsoft. Just before we move on to the agenda, we just kind of like to get an idea of who's in the crowd. Could you put your hand up if you're a developer? Okay. And designer? Great. Okay, thank you. Kind of a mix, probably 50-50. Great. There's still a few people coming in after lunch, but we'll make a move.
Cool. Okay. So today we're going to be talking about six things with you guys. We're going to talk a bit about the app statement, user goals, and why that's important when designing an app. We're going to talk through some of the different navigation types that you have in Windows 8 when you're building your app structure. We're also going to talk about the grid and how you can leverage that to make sure your content is nicely laid out on an app. And then we're going to spend a bit of time, probably a larger piece of time, talking about how to surface a brand well in Windows 8. We'll give you a couple of tips and tricks as well and resources towards the end that you can take home with you.
So the first thing we're going to talk about is an app statement. And the thing that you need to decide, or you need to decide with your client or customer, is what is your app going to be great at? This sounds quite simple, and people ask why they need to do this. The reason that we ask developers or designers to do this before they actually think about navigation or layout is so that they can be clear about what their app is going to be great at. This will then inform kind of the design decisions that you're going to make as you move through the design of your application. So we've got an example here for a travel app. It's a nice succinct statement. It quickly tells someone what your app's going to do, what it's going to be good at. When we get applications through our team and we kind of find them difficult to use or the layout seems quite busy, the first thing that we'll do is go back and look at the app statement to see if they really are being true to their app statement. The second thing you should think about is what you should be able to do with your app, and that's based off your app statement, and we tend to call these primary scenarios. And primary scenarios tend to be the goals of your application, and I tend to lay these out in priority order. So again, it informs my design, so as I'm thinking about layout and navigation, I can think about where I'm going to place certain UI elements based on my primary goals. And this process usually tends to take about 30 minutes. Where quickly, usually have a discussion, we iterate around a few ideas, but it's something that's really quick to do, just write it down on the pad, write it down online, and it really does help you when you're starting to come to make decisions about the design of your application.
Okay, so Windows 8 has got two major navigation models that we talk about. The first one is probably the most common navigation model you can be familiar with from the days on the web, and that's the hierarchical model. And this works exactly how you'd expect it to. So here we've got an example of one of my favorite apps, which is a New Zealand Herald, a newspaper from New Zealand. They use a standard layout on the hub. They've got sections for featured, for latest, for science and technology, politics, all that kind of stuff. If you tap on the featured section or an article, you drill down to a detail level page, and then you'd use the back button to get back to the top level page. Really standard, simple, hierarchical navigation there. We also have a flat navigation model, which for those of you who are more familiar with iOS development can be thought of as those little tabs that you get across the bottom of the screen in your app development. This is useful for apps where there's no obvious nesting structure going on, such as, for example, a weather application where you might want to switch between different cities, but there's no point really nesting those cities in any kind of view. So the example I've got for this is, again, an app available in the store. This is MetroTwit, which has been designed by a great group of guys down in Sydney. And here, I've got two different Twitter accounts, because I'm greedy. I've got my personal one and my work one. And here, we can very quickly toggle between the two different navigation structures here. And this is important, because it means we don't have to go to a root-level page, where this stuff wouldn't make sense, kind of all grouped on one hub. Now, there is the mixed navigation model, which is where hierarchical makes friends with flat. And this is very useful for the more complex apps. It's something that if you've ever built apps for Windows Phone, you might have difficulty kind of fitting into this. But on Windows 8, it's really nice and easy. A really great example of this is in the news app, which ships with Windows 8. So this is the news app. You can see if I pull down my top app bar, and we'll talk about app bars and navigation later on, We've got the different sections of the app, the main ones. We've got the home page, we've got the My News section, sources and video. And then I've also got this sub-level navigation, which again are these unique sections of the app. So I'm currently in US, and if I was to tap on technology, for example, I would jump immediately sideways to this other area of the app. And I could pull that app bar again, down again, and jump to a different section of it from there. Tom's going to talk a little bit about navigation controls.
So there are three types of navigation controls. The first is on-screen links. And then there's header flyouts and top app bars. The second two are global navigation controls. The first, on-screen links, so if you've got your hierarchy, you've got your top hub level, you can place links on your hubs that's going to drill down into the hierarchy. So on the store app, for example, we've got all these tiles that link off to different applications. Tapping on one of those takes you directly down to level 3, which we call the detail view, which allows you users to install the application. The other navigation type we have on Canvas here is the section headers. You'll notice next to games, there's a chevron, and the chevron indicates that tapping on that takes you down into the section level to view all of the games. And the reason that we introduce chevrons here is that we want to avoid placing lots of more tiles or view all tiles that we could, the space that we could use for to place other applications. So that's the reason that chevrons exist there. The second type of navigation control is a header flyout. And a header flyout exists to allow users to jump around the application to the different sections without having to keep going back up to the top, to the top global hub. The example we have here is from the Build application. If any of you attended Build, you would have installed this app, and it helped you with agenda and maps and kind of planning out your week. And it was quite a complicated application, so they introduced the header flyout to allow delegates to move around the application really easily without having to move up and down the different different levels. And header flyouts always have a home link. They always have a home link, and it's placed at the bottom there. Netflix is another really great example. They've kind of innovated with the header flyout, but that's an app that's in store now that you can download and take a look at. And the third type is the top app bar. Navigation always sits in the top app bar. And again, this is available, should be available on every single page of your app, just by a swipe down or a right click if you're using a mouse. And this should provide links to all of the different sections of your app, as well, again, as a home button. So very similar to the header flyout, but again, the top application bar. It's becoming a lot more popular now because it allows users to quickly move around their app.
Cool, so I'm going to spend a few moments now talking about the grid. Now, if any of you are for the designers in the room, you're probably very familiar with the concept of a grid when you're designing apps. It's something that has been around for almost hundreds of years, I mean, back in the days of print layout and stuff. And it's something that we use in Windows Phone as well as in Windows 8 design. For those of you who might not be familiar with the Windows 8 grid in particular, I'm going to take you through that now. So there are a couple of reasons why using a grid is very helpful in designing an app. First of all, it ensures you've got a consistent layout across all your pages. It's very confusing and disconcerting if you have page elements that should be consistently placed jumping around over the page. The common thing we see when we're looking at apps that people submit to us is the back button jumps around this kind of small space as you navigate between pages. And it just looks very jittery and visually jarring. And it's something that's really easily fixed just by making sure you align your app to the grid. It helps with alignment and spacing. Things that are badly aligned or badly spaced instantly look like you've not spent much time on them, or that you don't really care too much about the quality of the app. And it's a really easy thing to fix by using the grid. And it just generally makes things easier when you come to laying out content. So this is the Windows 8 grid. It's composed of units and subunits. A single unit is 20 pixels by 20 pixels, and it can be broken down into 16 subunits. And each subunit is 5 by 5. We have a column spacer, which is 80 pixels. So if you have blocks of content on the screen, you would have an 80-pixel gap before the next section starts. And we also have this thing called the silhouette. So here is a typical application page for Windows 8. We've got the grid in the background. This grid can also be downloaded from design.windows.com, and it can be overlaid in Visual Studio or in Blend when you're designing as like a semi-transparent overlay. It's really helpful to make sure you're aligned. And here we can see this kind of white C shape that sits around it. We call this a silhouette. And this is a space that we like to keep relatively empty of content. So all we have at the top here is application header. We would have the back button would sit in that top left corner up there, and then we have this nice gutter down the side and a gutter on the bottom. That's to make it easier for people to hold without accidentally interacting with your content. So it's really worthwhile to respect this. And you notice that most of the apps, if not all the apps on Windows 8, all will respect the silhouette. The distance we have from the left of the screen to the beginning of the content is 120 pixels, or 6 units. The baseline of the application title is five units down, which is 100 pixels. Then content starts at 140 there. And just helps to make sure that things are consistently laid out and easy to follow and easy to navigate.
The templates are also, when Dave talks about the templates for Visual Studio, there are also Photoshop templates available for download, so if you're actually designing an app.
Yeah, so you don't have to spend all your time in Visual Studio for the designs in the room. You can use Photoshop. It's all good. While we're talking about navigation and layout and stuff, I feel I should talk a little bit about commands and the placement. In iOS and Android, for example, you might be used to seeing a lot of buttons on the screens, a lot of flyout menus with buttons in and all that kind of stuff. In Windows 8, we like all these commands to sit in the bottom map bar. And as Bart mentioned in his presentation earlier, Windows 8 is all about content before Chrome. So we want to have content take the majority of the screen, and the Chrome and the commands and things like that, we want to kind of hide those away in the app bar. We get a lot of feedback from people worrying about whether users will discover the app bar. But the first time they run Windows 8, they get told about the app bar and how to use the app bar. So if you're a Windows 8 user, you're very familiar with this already. Generally, in the bottom map bar, we put page-level commands on the right-hand side. So these are things that affect the entire page. This is from the Start menu. And there's a button there to view all apps on the Start menu. So that's applicable wherever you're on the page. Over on the left-hand side, we put our contextual commands. So if on the Start menu, for example, I've selected a particular item, this is where our set of contextual commands would then appear. We then have a top app bar. The top app bar is for navigation only. It's not for commanding. So don't put things here like new or log out or things like that. This is for navigation. You'll also notice that in the top app bar, we don't use circles. Circles always mean commands. Circular things with an icon inside, that's always a command and always belongs in the bottom map bar. So we use, well, these guys use rectangles, we've seen squares, we've seen just text, we've seen all icons. Kinds of different things, icons as well. But the difference is that people expect things with circles around them to be commands that do something, not navigation.
So we've talked briefly about the app statements, the navigation design, and the layout. And the question that we get asked all the time is, won't all the apps end up looking the same? Well, branding is one way that you should use to differentiate your app from others on the platform. So if we take what we want to avoid is all the apps looking like the standard SDK template. And this is the template that ships currently with the SDK. We want people to innovate with the grid and innovate with the layout so that their app really does feel different. We've got some examples that are currently available in store. The first example is FX. This is a TV station in the US. What we're currently seeing here is one of their shows series page. And here they're using this full bleed immersive imagery, which kind of opens up, kind of displays what the series is about, shows characters from that, and they've started to introduce branding elements such as the logo in the top left-hand corner, and subtly introduce kind of their brand colors into the tiles and some of their fonts and icons. And then they use this full black, they use this imagery again in the next section as they follow through. So here we're looking at kind of grassy fields and hills, and they use a grass background here on the majority of the hub. So this theme is consistent and it's being followed through on the hub. The other thing this app does really well is introduce visual variation. So rather than just having blocks of tiles on the screen, they introduce lots of different layouts. They're using circles here for the stickers. They've got different size squares for the leaderboards. And this is a really good example of how to kind of create some visual variation on your main hub to make it interesting and much more interesting to users. The second app we have is much more line of business. So this is Sigfig. Sigfig, again, available in store now. And here they're doing that. The type of data they're displaying is very different. They don't. It's much more numerical. And here you can see that Sigfig are introducing a textured background, and they're pulling through their their quite distinct brown color with their logo up in the top right. The other major part of their brand is obviously their infographics, and you can see here these infographics really do stand out, and they're using brand colors again to kind of differentiate this app. And so this app really does stand out on the platform. Another example here, another page. Again, another example of where brand colors are being used on the different UI elements, so the tiles, the buttons. They're also using varying layouts across the list design, which is really important. And then the third example, which is Dave's favorite, is Disney Stickerbook. So this is a completely different application, and how a completely alternative brand, an immersive brand, a game for a child, can be applied to the Windows 8 design style. Here you can see commands are in the bottom, in kind of the ovals. They're still using their kind of their brand assets, such as the logo and the buttons, and they've got all of their characters there. And it's kind of has a 3D feel because it's a game, and it's much more when it creates that much more immersive feel. But it's a really great example of how the brands can be applied to the different layouts and navigation design.
I think also interestingly on that page, and if you notice, but it's still using a very kind of standard hub layout. So all the content kind of scrolled off to the side there, and using the app bars as well means it still feels like a Windows 8 app, but look like something that's very specific for that brand and audience.
And again, previous and next at the top, again being keeping with that design pattern of putting navigation at the top and keeping commands down the bottom. Another really great example. So that's great, but how do you go about applying a brand, and where do you get it from? So if you're in a medium to large size business, they're going to usually have a set of brand guidelines. These brand guidelines usually apply to their print or to maybe their website, but they can also apply to Windows Store apps as well. The example I'm going to use here is Skype. So Skype have a set of brand guidelines. They have different types of logo. You can see here that they're displayed. The one on the left is the logo that they use in their tile. And obviously you want to invest in a really great tile when you're designing an app. But rather than having to go out and create your own logo or your own style for that tile, you can probably use assets that already exist in the brand guidelines. And so it's just a case of going through and looking at those different types available there.
A little tip for you guys is that most brands will have what they call a single color version of their logo, which is for like when you're doing photocopying or sending faxes and that kind of stuff. And that is often the perfect icon to use for your live tile or for your app icon, because it's already two-dimensional and it's already one color. It might be like in black, for example, but you can just invert the color easily enough for that. So that's a real top tip there, is look for that single color icon that already exists for that brand, and you can just use it straight away.
That's a good tip. The other thing is with brand guidelines is the colors, the palette. So here, Skype's very familiar, Skype Cyan is their primary color that they're probably going to use, that you can use throughout the application. And then they have secondary colors that you can apply to things like tiles or or text on list designs, that type of thing, or maybe app bars. And if we go ahead and look at how this brand is being applied in the Skype application, you can see that they're introducing their logo on the main hub, really important. It's the first time a user opens your application. Definitely use your logo if you have one, rather than using just the text. They're introducing the blue onto their tiles. They've started to introduce the colors and the icons across the main hub here. And then if we were to go ahead and go through to the chat page, you can see here how they've used their... they've used circles, which they use across all of their applications to represent user photos. And again, they've repeated that in this application. And then they've started to introduce colors again onto the buttons. The other thing they do really well here is they introduce their own iconography, the distinct Skype iconography, into the bottom app bar. And so that's another example of where you can bring your brand through while still being consistent with regards to commanding and navigation.
Okay, but there may be times when you're working with a brand that doesn't necessarily have some brand guidelines. Or you might be making your own app when you haven't really come across, thinking about that kind of stuff yet. So I'm going to give you some tips and tricks to create a brand and apply it to a Windows 8 app quickly and easily. So, firstly, the logo. Always a tricky point. Where can I get a logo? Now, we see quite a lot of logos in the store that look like they've been designed in MS Paint. And if you do the browser store and look at some of the less well-rated apps, you see it's looked like somebody's just drawn, hand-drawn, like the title of the app. This looks really bad. It puts people off downloading your app in the first place, because the first thing they will see is your badly drawn tile. So you really want to invest in the tile to make sure it looks good, because people will not like it. So the first thing I will say is just leave MS Paint alone. You should never go into MS Paint with this kind of stuff. There are other things you can use. So one of my favorite sites is called The Noun Project. It's nounproject.com. There'll be a list of all resources in this presentation, so don't worry about scribbling notes right now. The fantastic thing about this project is it's a community-sourced effort to create loads of great icons to be used for wayfinding and signposts and things like that. The great thing about those kinds of icons is that they're perfect for Windows and Windows Phone because they're already two-dimensional, they're single color, they really embody the whole Windows 8 design ethos. The one thing I'd recommend you do is just to check the licensing first. Some of them are free to use, some of them require attribution. Other ones are relatively cheap to buy, but it's a great resource there. And here, I just searched for money, and I've got loads of different. This is like page one of 50 or something crazy like that. What I'm going to be doing with you guys now is I'm going to take you through actually applying a brand to an app. We're going to use a finance app as an example of that. So for my finance app, this is it. Really basic. It looks like I've just built it from that Visual Studio template. Really boring, gray, black, white. Yeah, fantastic. Nothing special about this app. So the first thing I'm going to do is pop my logo in. Pop. There we go. So I've chosen a piggy bank because I think that's pretty cool for a finance application. And already, I mean, yeah, we've done a very, very little thing here, but it's starting to feel more like an app that's got some substance to it rather than just one that's been brought out of the box. So next thing we're going to do is think about colors. Now, you don't have to be like a designer or an interior designer or something like that to be able to find a good source of colors. There are two great websites that I use all the time. One of them is cooler.adobe.com, which is this one here. Another one is Color Lovers. And again, these are community-sourced palettes, if you will. People find a set of colors they think go well together. They give a name to the palette and upload it, and they get rated and get keywords and stuff like that. So here what I've done is I've just searched for finance because I'm making a finance app. And it's brought back 94 results for me. So then I've just scrolled through and found a palette that I liked. In this case, it's called Warwick Financial Societies. And it's this nice blend of colors across the top here. Now, a little tip when you're picking a palette, try and pick a palette that has got a mix of light and dark colors so that when you put them on top of each other, you get a good amount of contrast. So here I've got one with white. I've got a really, really light gray. I've also got this kind of darker gray, greeny color. I've got an accent or a highlight color, which is this orangish greeny color here. And all these things are going to be combined on my app to make it look a little bit more interesting. If you tap on the palette to edit it, maybe you want to tweak these colors slightly, you can get a full breakdown of all the RGB values, the hex values, whatever format you want them in. You can edit individual ones as well. And one of my favorite things is if you're not particularly gifted in the design area, is you can actually pick a rule to apply to these colors, so it automatically give you like the complementary colors or the compound colors and stuff. So it really kind of helps you make a great palette really easily. I don't work for Adobe, by the way, but I just love this tool. So here is our Contoso Finance app. Again, gray and boring, just with our logo in here. So I'm going to apply some of those colors that we found. Pop. So now it's starting to feel much less like a template app. And all we've done so far are two really, really simple things. Stick a logo in and change some colors. No big effort here, but it's made quite a dramatic difference from where we were a moment ago. So the next thing I want you to think about is backgrounds. Again, we see a lot of apps that use these kind of generic stock art backgrounds. These basically say nothing. They're like just hot air, really. And they're really cheap looking and really basic. And I just recommend that you really avoid this kind of imagery in your application. What I'd like to use instead is maybe a gentle gradient, maybe a texture. There are some great resources online. I'll give you some links at the end here, of really simple textures that when applied in a tile format, can give you a really nice, kind of rich background. We saw Sigfig a moment ago, which had those kind of really thin stripes with gradients on them. And that worked really well, just like a little bit of interest to the background on the background color, but nothing gratuitous and over the top with big imagery. Because with images, you also have the problem of scaling. I mean, how is this 500 pixel image going to scale out to a big monitor? Because obviously Windows 8 can run everything from a screen this size to a screen on a tablet. So here's our Contoso Finance app. I'm just going to do something really simple, because for a finance app, you don't want too much going on in the background, because the focus really is the content here. So I'm just going to apply a gentle black gradient to this background image, background color rather. And I'm just going to do that to it. And it's added a bit of depth to it. It's added a bit of warmth. It's made the content pop out a little bit more. Really easy step just to make it that little bit clearer. Oh, PowerPoint has just crashed.
Yeah.
Pretend that didn't happen.
I'll do it.
One of the great things about working at Microsoft is they make you beta test all the new software before it gets released. So the disadvantage is that sometimes it goes pop in a big room full of people. So we'll just resume where we were. Please bear with us a minute, talk amongst yourselves. Any questions while Tom's sorting that out? Nope. Help me out here, guys. Yes, Bart. Yay. So the question there from Bart was, they get a lot of requests from clients to use particular fonts in applications, but there are often legal implications about embedding fonts inside a Windows 8 app. My recommendations there, I'm actually going to talk to you about a resource which is really great for finding fonts that can be embedded in apps that are royalty-free and that kind of stuff. You should always check licenses before you start embedding fonts, as Bart says, because you could come unstuck. And last thing you want is like your massive brand to be in trouble for something you did for embedding the wrong kind of font. If you have a brand font, always use that. For example, some newspapers will have like a font that they always like to use. Use those things for headlines. It's not so great for body text. Tend to stick to Sigo or to Calibri, for example, for the body text. But for the titles, the section titles, definitely bring in the brand typeface if you have one. Speaking of which, what about fonts? Aren't they expensive?
You did that.
Yeah, thanks for teaming that up. It's almost as if we planned it. So one of my favorite websites for this is fontsquirrel.com. Their mission here, only the best commercial use free fonts. You might not necessarily get a lot of different weights for the non-designers in the room, the different thicknesses of font, but you get a really good choice. It's all curated and checked out by these guys. And you get them in OTF, so you can also use these for embedding on the web and that kind of stuff as well. For me, I'm going to use one of my favorite fonts, which is called Museo Slab. So here we have our Contoso Finance app. At the minute, I'm thinking I'm probably just going to apply it to the logo at the top of the page, because I think I want the most amount to be in Sigo UI, which is a really nice font anyway. So I'm just going to apply that to it. Pop. And again, our app starts to get more character. It starts to feel more like something we've designed and built rather than something we've just pulled off the shelf and put some content into. And ideally, you would carry this through, so your start tile now has this font on it. And you could also use it for section headers and things like that. Okay, so we've now gone from a very kind of boring black and gray app into something that's a little bit more interesting in just a few easy steps. A couple of web resources, a little bit of clicking around, a little bit of typey-typey in the XAML, and we've got something that's quite nice. It's still a little bit boring. Tom talked earlier about visual variation on a hub when we looked at that FX app with the circular tiles and the square ones as well. So let's maybe jazz this up a little bit. So I'm going to go through some finishing touches now. So here is our current app. In the middle here, we've got this advert, which doesn't really stand out very much. It kind of breaks the content, but not in a very clear way. So I'm just going to apply a really, really simple style to this and change its shape and color. So now I have this. Again, it breaks up the content a bit now. We have a very obvious distinction between our markets and between our news. A lot of people ask us about the best place to surface ads in Windows 8 apps. And the best place we say to them is to surface it in line with the content. For our ad, we could have put like a big banner across the top of the page, or we could have had something down the bottom here, or something like that, and it just kind of really sticks out badly. But with Windows 8, we like to see ads in line with the content. We could even have had one of these tiles here, an advert, if we wanted to. But for the sake of this, I wanted it as a separate thing here.
If you're using the Bing Ads SDK, it provides different sizes of ads to help you with those types of layouts.
Next thing I'm going to do is that news tile area. Squares aren't really the best shape for displaying news articles. I'm maybe going to mess with those a little bit. And also, when I think about reading these markets here, it's everything's the same size, it's all the same color. The information doesn't really stand out very much for me. So I'm just going to think about what's the most important thing I'm looking at there. I'm going to do this to it now. So now our share prices are very obvious, the movement's very clear, and the news here we've just put into these columns, sorry, into these rows rather than these squares, because it's a little bit easier to read and breaks the content out a little bit more. But there's one more thing I want to do to this. I think that this grey background's a little bit boring. I just want to make that a little bit more interesting. So I do really like this slanty angle that I've brought into it, so I'm going to use that elsewhere in the app as well. I'm just going to put a grey slanty bit in the beginning of it. And all I've done is I've taken the backgrounds off those tiles here, because you don't need to have everything in boxes. Windows 8 design isn't about putting everything in boxes. Here I've got the news articles. I've just put a little bit of the content text in there as well. And I've just changed the color slightly to make it work on that different color background. So we've come a very long way from that black and gray box kind of standard template to something which, I mean, yeah, we've knocked this together in a relatively short period of time, but it's obviously very different and very much more considered as an app. So in summary, branding is very important. You don't have to be a designer to do it. Obviously, still employ designers and pay for them because I want to keep my job, and that'd be really good. The four pillars of things you want to consider if you're doing branding for the first time in Windows 8 apps. Logo, make sure you have a good logo. It's something that people will see on the tile and in the store before they even download your app. Make sure you've got a decent color palette. Pick a fairly restricted one, maybe like 5 or 6 different colors. Don't go crazy, unless your app is something that requires lots of colors. Keep your backgrounds simple and relatively plain. Avoid photography if you can. And typefaces, if you're going to be bringing one in, find the right one for you. Don't just pick a random one. Please, please don't use Comic Sans. That will really upset me. And just make sure it's something that you use selectively throughout the app rather than just overwhelming people with fonts. Top tips.
So the other thing that Dave and I get asked all the time is, what are the top tips for building Windows Store apps? The first is build natively. We get quite a few apps through the embed browser controls, and the first thing that we'll do is go back and look at the app statement and the primary scenarios. And if the web control is in place of something that you want one of the user goals, we'll ask you to go back and build it natively. Users will thank you for it in the end. They've invested in the platform and the app, and browser controls just don't really provide that end user experience that native controls can. So where you can, please use native controls and not browser.
It's basically like saying to the user, we don't care for you enough to actually build something for the device you've bought. We're just going to give you a website and you can just deal with it. So it really makes people feel better if you build something natively for their device and their experience.
There are some exceptions, so things like logging in via Facebook, that tends to happen through browsing controls. Obviously, that's just the kind of first run experience, but if it's a primary goal or part of your app statement, then absolutely build it natively. Don't port experiences. We saw some of Bart's slides this morning. If you've got an iOS app or an Android app, absolutely use the assets, use the brand, brand guidelines, but please don't try to directly port apps onto the platform. They tend to be quite confusing to use for users, because obviously we have kind of standard patterns for navigation design and commanding design, and so it never really works. So think about, while using your iOS app or Android app as a base or foundation, think about how you do go about porting it over from a navigation and a navigation perspective.
And as Bart talked about in his presentation, if you're going to bring in an iOS or an Android app over onto Windows 8, you will need to redesign the UI to make it for the form factor and for the operating system itself. So what we don't want to see is basically people going, there's an iOS app, I'm just going to put this on Windows, and then you figure it out from there. Windows has got extra things like tiles and snap views and charms and app bars and stuff like that, which people are used to using and expect to be able to use. And if your app doesn't support any of that, it's going to feel really alien to them. It would just be like me putting a Windows 8 application onto an iPad. It just wouldn't work. It would confuse people as well. So make sure you consider it and design it for the platform.
Design for multiple resolutions. So this is pretty unique to Windows 8 in the sense that they scale from big screens like this, to tablets, to PCs, to laptops and to desktops. So make sure that when you're thinking about your layout, that it's going to scale appropriately. There's some great guidance on design.windows.com around scaling for different resolutions. So I'd recommend that while you're deciding on your layouts and looking at your list design and that type of thing, you take a look at the scaling guidance. And as Dave mentioned just a few seconds ago, exploit the Windows 8 features. I saw Bart go through some of the tiles and Snap View. Snap View, really unique, able to run two apps at the same time. Absolutely invest in a Snap View, especially if you're doing something like a video app where users might want to view videos, or it's a chatting application or social networking app.
It's also a store requirement as well as a Snap
View. It is a store requirement, yeah. And tiles, invest in a great tile. Especially if you want to repeat users. So surface information on those live tiles to encourage users to go into your application. It's totally unique to the platform, so absolutely put some time into investing into a great live tile. Live tiles can be square or wide. If you do implement a wide tile, we do ask that it's live and it's not static.
Cool. So these are resources that I promised you earlier on. So now's the time to get cameras out if you want any of these. We talked about where you can find great icon resources and colors as well. Patterns are one I didn't actually go into in a slide, but there's a great website by a really talented guy called dinpattern.com. Some of his are free to use, some of his you have to pay for, but they're great. Some of them are quite loud, so you might want to use them in a semi-transparent way or put a semi-transparent gradient over the top just to kind of calm them down a little bit so that your content isn't fighting with the background. Fonts is Font Squirrel, and the Bible is design.windows.com. Best place in the world. You should all go there. The way that the site is split out, it's got case study material. It's got help from. It's got case studies for like designing games, for example. Like we've got one built around Cut the Rope, and a couple of other apps, and how to actually bring those from other platforms onto Windows 8. There's a load of what we call idea books, which I think is called Inspirations on the app. So on the guidance. So if you're designing like a shopping app or designing a news app, for example, or a media app, there's all these kind of ideas and guidance to kind of help you with that stuff. Finally, the best part of it, as far as I'm concerned, is the UX guidelines, which are all available to download as a single PDF if you just want to spend an hour or so reading through those. It's something that we make every member of our team read through, regardless of whether they're doing UX or not. Whenever they join our team, they have to read that document before they can start any work with us. But they break it down quite nice on the website, so you can look at pieces just around commanding design or navigation structures or app bars, all that kind of stuff. So I really recommend you go to design.windows.com. Most of you are probably very familiar with dev.windows.com, but design.windows.com is just as awesome.
Great.
Cool. So we've left a little bit of time for questions. We tend to get quite a few at these kind of design sessions. Please don't disappoint us by being all silent on us now. So has anybody got any questions they'd like to ask? Oh, cool. We'll start with this one over here. So for Windows 8, we actually have ones that the design team have made themselves in Windows. So the question there was, there are PDF design templates, sorry, PSD design templates for Android and iOS that are already available. Microsoft actually make our own official ones. They're available on design.windows.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the page, there's a whole section of designer assets you can download, including Photoshop ones and loads of different ones.
It's a bit confusing, but you have to click on the Assets button. And then it takes you down and drills you down into like all the different types of assets that you can download. There's also an animation library there. Animations are a really important part of Windows Store app design because it gives you that fast and fluid experience. Mm.
The other thing that's that you could get hold of is there's a great website called UI Stencils. And they produce these great sketch pads which have already got the silhouette on it, they've got the grid on it, they've got the lines for the way the title should sit and the back button. And they also do a stencil, like a metal stencil, so you can, it's got all the shapes already done for you, and even like a pixel ruler that works with the sketch pads as well. And they're relatively cheap. I think like a block of 10 sketch pads is only about $10. They're really cool. We often give those out at presentations. So I really recommend you look at those as well.
Sorry, someone over there.
Or really to go
Yeah.
Okay, so the question there was, how would I create an app which on iOS is very skeuomorphic in Windows 8? Did I get that right? Yeah, cool. We actually get this question quite a lot, and we've seen quite a lot of apps that have tried to do this with varying degrees of success. There are some apps which are deliberately supposed to be very experiential, which can probably lean a little bit more towards skeuomorphism than we'd like. The things that we don't like to see are things like drop shadows and fake glass effects and reflections and things like that, things that you would not expect to see, you know, on a computer screen. But in terms of detailing, I mean, that's kind of okay. So we saw the Disney Princess app. That's not necessarily skeuomorphic, but it's very visually rich. We also saw the FX app, which has, you know, grassy background texture to it, and it's got those little stickers and stuff. So you can still... you can still have a very visually rich application. You just need to pick and choose the parts that will apply. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to overwhelm the user with gloss, which isn't, which stands out from the rest of their apps on the platform.
Xbox is a good example. They introduced their kind of, what they called the icons that represent...
avatars.
The avatars on the hub. That's a really great example of how that's kind of, they're mixing those designs. Mm.
If you think about Xbox, it is all about, you know, 3D and immersion and that kind of stuff. Yet they have the characters, which are all nice and 3D, just sat on quite a plain hub background. So you can kind of, you need to pick and choose the right elements to mix. We've seen things like equalizers and music apps, where you kind of, they're designed to look like, you know, a set of decks you would get in a music studio. But when they've been brought to Windows 8, they've kind of toned down the effects on some of them and amped it up in others. We find that a lot of designers like the fact that we're leaving this kind of skeuomorphism thing behind and moving on to something that's a little bit more authentic. Again, it's just a case of finding the right balance for your app. Any more questions? Hey, Bart.
The placement of the logo, so you showed in the app because of the laptop, but once you dive in, and a lot of arguments with the device, do you drop the logo or do you keep it somewhere?
Yeah.
Our recommendation is not to place it on every single page because we want to give the pages context. And so on section pages and detail pages, you want the page title to be quite prominent there, so it provides context. The placement of the logo, we do suggest putting it into the top right. If you don't want to do that, then making it smaller and placing it above the page title. I think it's ESPN Quick Info does that. They actually do a really nice animation as well where you move from the main hub where it's quite large, and then when you move into the section level, they animate the page in, but they also animate the logo to kind of a smaller version with the title underneath. So that works really well as well. And then removing it completely. Some clients are happy to do that. Some, their brand guidelines don't allow that. And so it just depends. I think it is just on a client-by-client basis. If you're able to surface the brand in other ways without the logo through like the font colors and the fonts and...
We've seen some nice ways as well of people surfacing it through the background. So they may have a background on the main hub, but once they dig down into another one, they've got like a really lightly ghosted out, large version of the logo in the background. Or we've seen in the top app bar, Hulu does this, for example, yeah, which is a US TV streaming site. When they bring down the top app bar, they have the Hulu logo there, which acts as the home button. And that's nice as well. So it's not immediately on the page, but they can, as soon as they swipe down to do any navigation, the logo's up there, and it kind of gets nicer hidden out of the way. We always try and encourage people not to have their logo on every single page, just for exactly the same reason that we don't have a Microsoft logo on every single slide here, because you know when you came into here, it was a Microsoft presentation. We don't need to tell you every slide that you're still in the Microsoft presentation, by the way, just in case you forgot. It's like saying that to the user. It's like, you launched the Facebook app, we're going to have to keep giving you the Facebook logo to remind you're in Facebook. It's like you know what you're doing there. You don't need to keep kind of, I guess, patronizing the user into telling them where they are and what they're doing. They know that it's intentional. Cool. Hello.
Hi. Yes, I'd like to talk a lot about tips and tools, but are there also any, you know, obvious don'ts when designing for Windows 8?
Ooh. Are there any don'ts when designing for Windows 8? That is a really good one, that one.
We've tried to incorporate the don'ts into the presentation. So don't, for example, is placing, don't plate navigation into the bottom application bar. Those types of tips. I'm trying to think of others.
Well, the navigation one's a good point. I mean,
yeah. I don't have any juicy examples.
Well, yeah, you see, we try not to name and shame the bad apps. We try instead to share the really good apps and say, be like these. Don't be like those. You can probably find examples in the store of people who break guidance. There's different levels of breaking guidance. There's tweaking it and kind of pushing against it slightly, and then there's completely ignoring it and making a big mess. I have seen apps which look identical to iOS apps, which obviously is a really bad thing to do. Bart's presentation was fantastic in showing you how to move that experience over to Windows 8 and do it well. I guess some gotchas will be...
Scaling, I
think. Scaling, yeah. People forget about that. They'll just design on their little 1366 by 768 Surface or Samsung Slate or whatever and think that that's the only thing it's ever going to be used on. And then when it comes through to our team for tests, one of the first things we do is run it on a 23-inch monitor. And the app's this big in the corner of the screen, you've got all this white space around it because they've not really thought about how to deal with that. Or they forget snap views or... what else do we see that's bad?
Tiles, I suppose, when you're building your tiles, try to think about how you respect the start screen experience. So look at kind of the native apps, how they do it. Sometimes we see customers try to port across their iOS tile onto the start screen, and it looks really odd. I suppose
you
want
to get around
to stand
the corners,
out, but it's standing out in the wrong way. So I would encourage you to invest in a great tile. Yeah.
We also see people doing really crazy things with fonts sometimes and font sizes, and everything's really loud and really shouty, and they don't realize that you can actually achieve a much better effect by being a bit more calm with those kinds of things.
One more that just comes to mind is hubs. Being strict about what you place onto your hubs, some applications that we get through tend to place all of their content onto the main hub, where we go back to them and say, you need to kind of pick kind of your hero content for that area. And if you're keen to let users put all of their content, The way to get around that is to allow people to pin sections. So with Windows 8 apps, another unique feature is that you can pin sections of the app to the start screen. So rather than trying to present all the content on the main hub, allow users to pin the sections so that they can pick and choose, kind of create the favorites on their start screen. So that's another thing.
An example would be the news app that ships with Windows 8 has got news sources from hundreds of different places, and each one of those has got loads of different categories underneath. So, for example, there's BBC News, which has got, I know, 26 categories underneath for different types of news. If I was to put that on a hub, that hub is going to be enormous just for BBC News. If we then have BBC News, then CNN, and then MSNBC, it's just going to get, you're going to be doing this to pan along the screen, which obviously isn't great. So allowing the user to pick and choose what is serviced on the hub is great. But also, say I read the technology news a lot, I could just pin that to my start screen. So now I can get to technology news just by tapping that tile without actually having to launch a full app and navigate through it. That's really good as well. Cool. Any more questions? No?
Great. Thank you very much, everyone.
Yeah.
Have a good
afternoon.
Thank
you very much.